Recording has started. You may begin.
Thank you very much, Anna. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the PPSAI Working Group call on the 18th of August 2015. On the call today, we have Steve Metallis, Graham Bunton, Sarah Wild, Val Sherman, Sarah Bocchi, James Bladle, Darcy Sutherwell, Kieran Mellon-Terraville, Todd Williams, Frank Mishlik, Alex Deacon, and Stephanie Perrin. We have received apologies from Holly Weiss, Don Blumenthal, Michaela Nalon, James Gannon, and Lindsay Hamilton-Reed. From staff, we have Mary Wong, Amy Bivens, and myself, Natalie Kogan. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names clearly for transcription purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Steve.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining the call. We have an agenda that was sent out yesterday and is in the right-hand pane of the Adobe room. We'll start with we've had the roll call. We'll start with any updates to statements of interest. Are there any updates that people want to report? If not, let's move on to the public comment review tool, part one. This was distributed on July 20th. We've asked for people to bring forward issues that they see in these summaries that require that may be worth discussing in the working group. We've got five such issues that are listed on the right-hand side. We did have a last call go out on this due Friday, so let me just ask if there are any other issues that aren't listed on the right-hand side in 1 through 5 that people have identified and think that the working group should consider in its final report. Okay, hearing none, why don't we'll close that out. We will have to decide how to handle those issues, and my supposition is those would be discussed in the full working group unless they fit better in one of the sub-teams, but the co-chairs and staff will take a look at that and try to figure out the next steps on those. Now, the next part of the public review tool that came out on August 7th, I think, dealt with questions 10 through 15, I believe, of the initial report. And so what's on the table now is to see if there are any issues that arise from those summaries that people think we ought to put on the table for discussion within the working group. Again, other than those that are already addressed in the sub-teams that we have going. So I'll open the floor for any, Mary, if you could put that second part two document up, which was it's been out for about 10 days now. This is not the final call on this, but if people do have any items that they see there that are they would suggest the full working group look at. Please raise your hand if you're in the chat room, or if you're not, please just speak up. Okay, well, I'm not hearing any. I see Kathy has her hand up, so let me ask Kathy. Kathy, go ahead.
Hi, Steve. Thanks, and hello, everybody. Still reviewing this, actually, in light of all the work going on in the sub-teams. But certainly question 13 needs to be flagged, I think, for initial review, whether we're going to be limiting responses to a certain type of malicious conduct or allowing flexibility for new types of conduct. And we have several comments talking about extraterritorial requests And so I think we have to flag this because that's an issue we've dealt with before but hadn't really considered, which is where is the question coming from? Where is it deemed malicious conduct? Is it Saudi Arabia or China or the United States or the jurisdiction of the proxy privacy provider? So that certainly needs to go into whatever category we're putting all these things we have yet to work on.
Okay, so territoriality and the malicious conduct list.
Right, whether it's the whole range of questions being raised in 13 as well as the extra, which I don't think are answered here, as well as the additional issues raised in comments.
Okay.
That relate to them. Thanks.
Okay, we've captured that as a issue to be considered. Are there any other, let's see, I see James has his hand up also. James, go ahead.
Hi, thanks, Steve. James speaking. Hopefully my audio is now working, and I apologize for joining late. So I agree with Kathy. I think we need to flesh out some things with item number 13. I just wanted to point out item number 11, and I guess probably should have raised this earlier, but I'm not clear on the distinction between designated and dedicated. Certainly for a large registrar that has multiple teams dealing with specific issues where one type of report would go to one team and one type of report goes to another team, I certainly wouldn't want to lose the ability to intelligently route those types of communications around a large organization. So I just want to make sure that that's captured in our discussion for item number 11 and that we don't get backed into a corner by these comments that would prevent us from operationalizing that requirement. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I don't think that's – I mean, a couple people mentioned that. I think you're referring, for example, to comment 8. Designated point of contact is sufficient, provided this role is not limited to a single person, but rather as one others can operationally fulfill. Is that kind of what you're driving at, that it could be different people at different times? So
yeah, I would say number 8, comment number 8 probably most closely aligns with capturing my concern. That we don't want to just say this person and only this person or this team and only this team can help you.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay. I think that's probably pretty close to what we meant to say in that whole discussion about designated versus dedicated, but I think that's a good point. Kathy, is that a new hand?
This is a new hand, Steve.
Go ahead.
Okay, 15, paging down to 15, should there be a standardized form? We appear to have almost a complete split on a standardized form for reporting and submitting requests for review. And we seem to have a split on this. So it's going, I think that's something we have to flag as well, is to work through the comments and what do we do if we have, you know, a bunch of people saying yes and a bunch of people very clearly saying no.
Well, I think thank you for flagging that. I think we do have to look at, our recommendation was that there should be, so I think we need to look at the statements that are made as to why there shouldn't be, and there are a few specific ones in there. I see one, which would be number 20, but... most of the others, no expressions don't really go necessarily to this question. But let's put that on the list as to whether there should be. I mean, again, it's inherent in the question, but let's put that on the list for discussion. Obviously, one way you could deal with that, or one response to that, could be yes, there should be a standardized list, but it shouldn't be mandatory. So.
Interesting. Makes sense.
Are there any other issues that people have flagged here? Okay. If not, let's we're not closing this one off. Well, I think we should probably put out a last call, but let me ask the staff I think there's a part 3 here yet to come. Is that correct? And when do we expect to see that?
Steve, this is Mary. That is absolutely correct, and that is probably going to be good to go, this week if folks don't feel overwhelmed by documents. But if we're moving quite nicely along with the discussions in Part 1 and Part 2, I can certainly send that out this week.
Okay, that would be great, and let's ask people to look at Part 2. I think the staff can capture the three points that have been raised here, and then then we can ask people to identify any other points that they feel that the group needs to address, and hopefully get that wrapped up by next week and beyond to Part 3 of the tool. Meanwhile, continuing with the reports from the sub teams. So, are there any comments or reactions to that? Okay. In that case, let's move ahead on our agenda. We have a status report from Sub-Team 4 on additional topics. So I see Kathy is here. I don't know if Paul is. I don't see him in the chat room, and I don't know if he's on the bridge. But maybe I could ask Kathy to at least kick this off and report to the group of where things stand on Sub-Team 4.
Sure. Mary, are you going to be loading any documents to share? I don't have a formal document or summary the way the other sub-teams have.
Right, Kathy, so I haven't prepared anything, but let me know if you'd like something, and if it's possible, I can show it.
No, I think I can probably describe this. Sub-Team 4 is the No Comment Left Behind sub-team. We're trying to gather what it is that hasn't already been covered by other sub-teams. What issues, what alternatives, what approaches have been suggested to us in the comments that go above and beyond the specific questions asked? So this has kind of two categories. One is, in general, we presented a report, and do people accept it? You know, are they coming back with questions accepting the kind of consensus that we put forward? And the answer is yes, a lot of people are coming back to question that. And then more specifically, are there other alternatives and approaches? So there are comments that try to give us metrics. How are we going to evaluate the success or not success of what we put forward? How are we going to monitor and check that things that once accreditation goes into place, it's being implemented as intended and doesn't have side effects that are unintended? How do you monitor for that, and then how do you correct that? There's some suggestions about that, as well as a whole range in the middle. So we met last week as a sub-team and figured out ways to divvy up both what I'll call the substantive comments, those who responded with a lot of text, as well as the 21,000 comments that fall into the save domain privacy, as well as the respect our privacy comment responses. So we created a matrix. Well, we divided everything up. We created the concept of a matrix, which we don't have to show here, to kind of try to capture the commenters and then the types of comments and issues and concerns that were raised. And we'll be bringing that back to the working group as soon as we can. So sorry for the very vague overview. And anyone else who is on Sub-Team 4's call is more than welcome to jump in. But really, we're kind of running a bit behind because we're the bucket for everything else that hasn't been dealt with. So we kind of watched what was going on in the other sub-teams and monitored that and then came in to figure out what might be missing. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. Let me just see if there's anybody else from the sub-team that wishes to add anything to that report.
Steve, can I add one more comment?
Yes, please, go ahead.
Great. It's an invitation to everybody on the working group to flag if, we're all reading through this enormous pile of comments. If you've seen something that really struck you as an interesting idea, an unusual concern, not something that falls into our existing buckets, please feel free to send it to me, and, you know, to Mary, to me and Paul directly, to anybody on Subteam 4, and flag it and say, I stumbled across this and there's something really, you know, important here that needs to be just thought about and put into the matrixes. We'd really appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there anything else that you that the subteam needs to advance on this?
A lot of extra time? No. Well, that's a good question. Maybe Stephanie has the answer to that.
Okay. Well, Stephanie has her hand up in any case, so go ahead.
Yes. Hi. Thanks, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I was going to beg for more time. As Mary says, we're moving along nicely, but I suspect that one of the reasons we're moving along nicely is a lot of people, and I put myself first here, have been busy doing other things or partially on holiday, and they may not necessarily have focused on everything. I personally am having a hard time cruising through for the no comments left behind because that's a lot of work. So I'm not on top of things, and I just want a marker in to say if things show up in September, please don't throw us out for having missed the deadlines, because I think these time frames are heroic. This is a lot of work. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Stephanie. I think we've got a heroic group here, and I'm confident that, you know, the way we have this structured is each subteam is giving an initial report, and then we'll go through the list of subteams again. So I think it's 3 or 4 weeks from now when we'll be asking Subteam 4 to really give us their conclusion. So that certainly gives everybody some time on that. Let me just note in the chat, Kathy raised a question on the review tool part 2, whether there was a question 14, and I think actually the way this was structured, 13 and 14 were kind of may have been kind of lumped together, or wait a minute. I saw some reference to the to this transfer emergency action contact in the question. So I think this is covered, but maybe the staff can help us out here if whether there's something, anything missing from this list. Mary, go ahead.
Steve, this is Mary, and I may need to go back to the document to refresh my memory, but in terms of the that particular emergency contact question, for purposes of the online template, we asked the two questions as a single question, two aspects of a single question, because they seem to go together.
Right. Yeah, that was question 11. So if you look on page 8 of the tool, you see there's a question about designated versus dedicated, and then also about transfer emergency action contact. So basically those two have been lumped together. Makes a lot of sense. So so I don't think there's anything missing from part 2. Thank you.
And Steve, Kathy, this is Mary again. Just to clarify, then what happened was that you notice on the tool that I think there isn't a number 14, that I basically adjusted the numbering for the rest to correspond to the preliminary recommendation number from our report.
Right, right. That was the question Kathy was raising in the chat, but I think we've resolved that now. Stephanie, is that a new hand? No. I'm not hearing anything, so I'm assuming...
Sorry, Steve. No, that's an old hand.
Okay. Thanks. Well, we seem to have gone through our agenda here, I don't want to keep people longer than necessary. I do think we do have some issues. There's been some discussion on the list about question 2 that was raised as extracted from part 1 of the review tool. So if you look on the right-hand column, we see this question about the proposed definition of law enforcement authority. And is it too vague because it includes quasi-governmental and other entities? The question that I raise there since we drew this, we didn't make up this definition ourselves. We took this from the RAA, I think verbatim. So the question that I raised was, has it presented a problem in the RAA context? That would obviously be a reason, perhaps, if that's been the case, that would be a reason to consider changing it or modifying it. So that's why I raised that question. I think there were a couple of comments on the list that indicated that there might have been some problems. And then there's been a lot of discussion about what was the intent of the people who drafted the RAA, and does the language that they arrived at actually carry forward their intent? I'm not sure that's a particularly relevant question here to go back and go through that, but the question remains: is there evidence that the existing definition, which again we just incorporated verbatim, has it created problems in the for the registrars or for the staff and compliance staff in the RAA context? So I see we have some hands here from registrars, and I will call on those, and I'll also get to Mary, because one other thing we might want to get in order to evaluate this is some input from the compliance staff. So I have Volker, Graham, and James. Volker, go ahead.
Thank you, Stephen. One issue I'm aware of where this has caused a bit of an issue was where state agency had written a letter to private organization identifying them as an organization that would be able to send in requests as per the RAA language, and that has caused the registrar that was affected a bit of a problem, because on the one hand he wasn't aware that organization would actually be counted, because, of course, we as registrars had envisioned a different meaning for this clause. And secondly, this also creates an issue of accountability and liability, because with a government agency, when the government agency makes a request based on legal requirements, then you have a recourse against the government agency if somebody claims damages against you if you take action based on that request. You don't have that with a private organization that has just been designated by a letter or something. There's no legal fallback for a registrar in that position if you take down something and is later found to have taken it down based on such a organization's request where it wasn't warranted. So while there hasn't been a case yet where such a takedown liability has taken place, it's easy to envision such a case, and we should make sure not to repeat that mistake and be more concise in our definition.
Okay, thank you, Volker. Graham, go ahead.
Oh, I'm probably talking about the exact same scenario as Volker, where it was a for-profit corporation that received a letter from a governmental authority. But we ran into an interesting scenario where we went, okay, can you then provide us with a court order or a straight of order? And that was still not possible. So we ran into this curious scenario where we have liability potentially, but then no acceptable way of ameliorating that, and it was a problematic situation to be put in because of that definition of quasi-governmental. Thanks.
Okay, this is Steve. I'm not sure I understand what if you're saying something different than Volker, because if you look at 318.2, that doesn't require a court order in the RAA. But so are you just saying that if you acted on the request, you might be and responded within 24 hours as the...
So response was no...
Requires. Go ahead.
So response is certainly no problem. It was the request to remove and take down a website that provided us with some angst. So I'm more or less saying the same thing as Volker.
But if I understand what you're saying, wouldn't you have had that same angst if it had come from a law enforcement authority without a court order? Rather than from the... So it's not the fact that it was a private group that was kind of deputized by the law enforcement. You had a different problem.
It's a similar and related issue, I think. But you're right; they share that commonality that there's no example of due process.
Okay, James, go ahead.
Thanks, Steve and James speaking, and not to discount concerns of my colleagues, but I just from a practical standpoint. I see some potential issues with having different standards for admission of law enforcement within the RAA on the one hand, and then the whatever accreditation framework results from this working group. The other, I think synchronizing them makes a lot of sense just from a practical standpoint, and I mean synchronized down to every bit of language. We exercise some degree of discretion here. If someone believes they're law enforcement, and we challenge them on that, and ask them to demonstrate that they are both qualified as a law enforcement agency, and also that there's some applicability to the jurisdiction that they claim to represent when submitting those types of issues to us. But it's not like it's closes off access to a fast track or not. I think we try to do everything as quickly as possible, but I would welcome that conversation with compliance if they feel that we're not, if we're drawing that line in the wrong place. So just I don't mean to shut down the innovations from Graham and Volker, but I think that the edge cases are something we need to take care of, but generally speaking, we don't want to have differing standards out there for law enforcement. Thanks.
Thank you, James. Let me turn to Mary, who had her hand up, and for her comments from the staff perspective on this.
Thanks, Steve. So as everyone knows or might recall, we did have members of our registrar team and compliance department take a quick look through the initial report at the time it was published. So I should note that this specific concern was not flagged, but that doesn't mean it hasn't necessarily come up, so I will double-check there. But I thought you guys might want to know that. Then more specifically, in terms of the definition, I think, again, as Steve and everyone notes, this did come from the RAA, so it may make a difference in terms of when the working group is looking at this, whether you want to refine it or further review it, that it may make a difference if in the RAA there's a difference between the treatment that you get, for example, a dedicated response time, that sort of thing. So it may be less relevant if we're not making those distinctions, but that doesn't mean we couldn't look at it. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, thank you, Mary. That's a good point, because at this point we don't have a specific procedure for law enforcement in our recommendations. Okay, so if I could ask you just to communicate with your colleagues and see if they have any information about problems that have arisen with the definition in the RAA, I think that could be a useful input to our process. Stephanie, you're next.
Thanks very much, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. For those of us who aren't working every day in this, Could we illustrate with a few examples? I mean, I'm all about due process, but I agree that you can't really fetter the discretion of the registrar, particularly in different countries. So I'm trying to think of a quasi-governmental authority that claims to be acting with their due powers, delegated or otherwise, and I'm following Kieran's remarks in the chat. And the one that leaps to mind as an example is a humane society. In this country, they have certain powers to seize animals and go in and shut down puppy mills, for instance. But they're not, you know, they're not, you wouldn't call them law enforcement, really. You know, they're a private society. Some have more powers than the others. And I have no idea how humane societies operate in, I don't know, Dubai, for instance. So what does a registrar do when such an organization comes in and says, yank this website down, they're operating a puppy mill, and we're going to bust them? I mean, I would expect the registrars to say, show me your authority, show me your evidence. And I don't think they're well caught by our current definition. So how do we come up with guidance for best practice that will cover a humane society in Canada, the United States, Ireland, and Dubai? Or is this a dumb question? I mean, it could still be a dumb question that still needs an answer. Thanks.
Thank you, Stephanie. This is Steve. It may just be useful just to read the definition we're talking about, and that is, this is taken from 318.2. Law enforcement authority means law enforcement, consumer protection, quasi-governmental or other similar authorities designated from time to time by the national or territorial government of the jurisdiction in which the privacy or proxy service provider is established or maintains a physical office. So it's the service provider's own jurisdiction that's involved here, and there has to be a designation by the government, whether it's the Humane Society, you know, or some other organization. If they're designated by the government, then it would seem to fall within this. So I'm not sure in Volker's example whether the letter that says, you know, you can use this authority, you, a private organization, can use this authority, signed by a law enforcement authority. That sounds to me like designation by the national or territorial government, but, you know, and again, it has to be in the jurisdiction that where you're located. So just to be clear on what the definition is that we're discussing here. James, go ahead.
Can I just jump in and say, I understand that, Steve, but that definition is, I would say, pretty darn vague.
Okay. Thank you. James, go ahead.
Thanks, Steve. James speaking. And Stephanie, vague, you know, welcome to the RAA, right? Anyway, jokes aside, you know, since my primary desire, or at least goal for this is to synchronize these definitions to two separate documents. Would it make sense, either in our final recommendations or in the implementation of this accreditation program, that we explicitly link the definition to that of the RAA and say something that, for example, if the definition were to be modified, updated, or changed in the RAA, that it would also change here, and or that any advisories that were put out by ICANN staff or compliance, that were particularly pertinent to that definition in the RAA would also apply here and vice versa. I don't know if we can do that. I think we should try because it's the linkage that I'm after. Thanks.
Thank you. I guess that's a very interesting suggestion. Certainly something we could do or could recommend. It's basically adding a sentence to the definition that says, if the RAA definition changes or is authoritatively interpreted differently, then that would apply here also. So I'd be interested in people's responses to that suggestion. I see Mary has her hand up.
Thanks, Steve. And, of course, we can certainly do that. I mean, right now all we have is a reference that says this is from 318.2 of the RAA. I just wanted to raise a broader point than that, and I don't mean to detract from this discussion, so I'll just raise it for folks to consider. I think, Steve, you, Graham, and I have talked about it a little bit, and that is that there are references in the rest of our report to other documents and provisions. For example, you know, the WHOIS accuracy specification, the RAA, the IRTP. So one thing to consider is whether in our final report we want to adopt the same approach that James has suggested for some or all of these, that to the extent those are amended or updated, that that's the meaning that we mean. Obviously, we can't tell if or how those would be changed. But in other words, saying that we're not recommending only a static interpretation as of this moment. Or if we are, maybe then that's what we should be saying. Thanks, Steve.
Okay, so thank you, Mary. So one thing to consider is whether you want that, whether we should have that as a blanket rule whenever we incorporate something by reference, or whether on a case by case basis. So again, I'm not sure anyone was suggesting a blanket rule, but it's worth considering that if there are standards that we're importing from someplace else that might be dynamic. So I think those are useful suggestions, and I would ask people to think about those if those are ways of dealing with the concern. I have to say there's not a lot of detail in most of these comments about why they think this definition is somewhat lacking, but I think we've had some good discussion about this here, and let's continue that on the list, and specifically what people think about the idea of including a reference here that the definition is taken from the RAA, and if that definition is modified or authoritatively interpreted in a different fashion, then it should have that knock-on effect in the accreditation standards. Are there any other comments on this topic? I see Paul has joined us, and Paul, we did have a brief report from Kathy on Subteam 4. If there's anything that you'd like to contribute on that, and we also asked the question whether there's anything the subteam needs that would help facilitate its work, and if you have any comments on that, that would be welcome here.
So I didn't hear what Kathy said, so I doubt that I have anything to add to it. We are very much at the launch stage where we have determined what we're going to look at, how we're going to keep track of that, and make sure that the workload is divided up in a way that it can actually be done. Steve, what was your second question?
It's whether there's anything you need from the working group or the staff to help facilitate your work.
No, my primary concern... Yeah, no, I will say that a primary concern that I have, at least, is that because the other teams are in flux, we really don't know which comments are being left behind or not, right? And so as we look at things, we are because we're not doing this at the very end of the process when all the other teams have reported what they've looked at, we may be engaging in a significant amount of double work. And so to the extent that, we can get information from the other teams about specific comments that have been looked at, I think that might help us narrow the field of what we're looking at. And again, I don't know how we would even do that, mechanically. And I hate to ask staff to produce that and also the Easter Bunny and everything else. But to the extent that there is a way for the other teams to essentially let us know about the comments that are getting, deep attention from them, that would be terrific.
Okay. Well, it strikes me that shouldn't be that difficult, because I know some of the other subteams are kind of looking at a finite set of comments. I think the subteam one has a document that staff prepared with all the different comments on the questions that they're looking at. Subteam 2, I think, has something similar. They haven't reached conclusions yet, but they have a finite list of what they're looking at. And Annex E, the Subteam 3, it's the comments that it came in on Annex E. So hopefully that's a knowable, so if you're looking at something that's a comment on, whether commercial someone carrying out commercial transactions should be able to use a privacy or proxy service, that's subteam two, and it's not an issue that's been left behind. It hasn't been resolved yet, but it hasn't been left behind. Similarly, if people don't like what's in Annex E and think that changes are needed there, or that the court order should be required, that's being addressed in Annex E, it strikes me. It's not an issue that's being left behind. Again, no conclusion's been reached on it yet, but it doesn't seem like your team needs to spend time on that. That would be my my sense of this. I don't know, Mary, if your the staff has anything to add, or if anybody from any of the other sub-teams has anything to add. But my sense is that what those other sub-teams are looking at is fairly well bounded. And then what we're now coming up with a list of questions from the public comment review tool. We now, I think, are up to 8 questions or so. That's fairly well bounded. So hopefully that's of some value to you in figuring out what you guys need to look at and don't need to look at. Mary has her hand up on that.
Thanks, Steve, and thanks, Paul. So I guess, you know, what I will say is that we would see some of that as also a staff role, since we support all 4 of the sub-teams as well. I think for up to now, one of the questions has been the petition from Safe Domain Privacy and the comments that came in from the Respect Our Privacy website. And so I think, as the folks in the sub-team and the chairs know, I did send an email so that everybody was more or less cognizant of what might have been going on with the summaries of those comments. So hopefully that's helpful. And secondly, what I will say, too, is having gone through the additional comments from those who signed the petition, that there's a lot of very similar sentiments that are echoed in some of the individual comments that we had also summarized. So in short, we would, as staff, try our best to basically track as well as to highlight to each sub-team, especially sub-team 4, where things may already be covered by another team or where things were not covered by another team. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Mary. I hope that response is helpful to the sub-team, but if not, you can follow up with Mary on that. Okay, let me just ask if there. I think we have completed our agenda for today, and then just as a preview for next week, we will have a report with conclusions, I believe, from Sub-Team 1. That's the goal. So that will be one of the things we focus on, and then we will finish up our review of part 2 of the public comment tool and our issue spotting exercise. We've gotten a few issues today, but if there are any others, we'll have those before the call. And then we will, I think, Mary, correct me if I'm wrong, we will have before next week's call, we will also have part 3 of the of the public comment tool, so we will ask people to start issue spotting there as well. And we have a fairly concrete suggestion on how to deal with question 2 that arose from part 1 of the public comment tool, the question about law enforcement authority, so hopefully we'll have some be able to reach a conclusion on that as well. I see Stephanie's hand is up. Stephanie, go ahead. Stephanie, I think you're muted. Go ahead.
Thank you, Stephanie Perrin, for the transcript. Just to revisit the issue of our timeline, I see that on the website we're still sticking to that. I'm going to keep calling it heroic timeline. Despite the fact we discussed at some point possibly pushing it backwards, I'd just like to reiterate that I don't think we can realistically deal with everything and stick to this timeline, and I'd like to see it pushed into, say, December. I don't quite understand why we're forcing ourselves to go through all of these very substantive comments by this date. I mean, the GNSO Council is going to meet in December and November and January. Why not then?
Okay, well, this is Steve. I'll respond to that. The timeline has been delayed already at your request and that of others, so we're hoping to meet this revised timeline that pushes the completion of the final report past the Dublin meeting. I just think that those who can contribute constructively to this process on the timeline, I think we if we have enough of those within the working group, we'll be able to meet this. If we turns out that we can't, we can make that decision farther down the line. But I think it's premature to do that at this point. I'll ask Graham if he has anything to add to that. But that's my reaction to your comment. Graham, anything? Or any other insight?
There's my mute. No. No, I think you got it well, Steve.
Okay. All right, great. Well, now everyone is going to have 12 more minutes that they may not have been anticipating in order to go through these additional comments, look at tool part two and identify any other issues there. So with that, if there are no other – I see Mary has her hand up. Mary, go ahead.
Yes, this is Mary. Just real quick for sub-team three, we're scheduled to do our call after this, but if you would like to start right away, we can just transfer all the sub-team three members across. So if you guys would like to just stay on the line and start right away, we can do that. Thanks, Steve.
Okay, thank you. Sub-team three members, please stay on, and you guys can get a little bit of a head start on your work for today. Great. If there's no other business to come before the full working group, we'll adjourn that meeting and, again, ask those who are on sub-team three or want to sit in on that and are prepared to work on sub-team three to continue on the call. Thanks, everyone.